pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you that we can get into your word. And God, I do pray. I pray, God, you would speak to our hearts, especially, Lord, as we look at kind of this transition and stuff going on in Israel, that, Lord, we would maybe reflect in our own lives how sometimes we're so resistant to change and things being different. God, I pray that we'd also look at this and understand, God, how damaging compromise can be in our lives, Lord, and the doors that we open when we start going down that way. So, God, we do want to understand, Lord, your heart. We thank you, God, for giving us again the history and these records so we can read them and Lord, that we can know what not to do and Lord, what to do. So I do pray you would bless this time, Lord, and God, that you would just encourage every single one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as we get down to the last three chapters in Joshua, it really is that kind of transition time for them, and they're going into that whole new phase. And as we think about that, I think it's interesting when you think about change. I know several people that I'm close to don't like change. I don't know how you guys feel about change. And, you know, some of us, we get so stuck and I don't want things to change. And some of us thrive on change a little too much and we want everything to change all the time. But transitions are difficult. No matter, even if we look forward to them and doing them, I just think for our ministry here, when we transitioned from being out on Hereford Road and moved into town, and just that difficulty of doing that and coming, and that was all new, and, you know, some people were excited, some people not so excited, and you know, you have those things that happen, and that was a pretty major transition. And then, when we transitioned from that building to this building, I was shocked at how many people freaked out about that. I mean, 20 feet. You know, I'm just thinking, really? But people got pretty uptight, and some people got real uptight, and it's just because we don't like that whole transition. Now, some of you have been here new enough, you didn't even know we did anything over there other than children's ministry. You never knew that was part of us. But, you know, when we think about that, now Israel is getting ready to go through the transition, and I think this is a difficult thing for them. They're going away from fighting and taking the land, so away from being warriors, to settling down. That's pretty huge. It's, you know, that's a big, big transition, not just, quote, geographically, but it's a big transition psychologically, mentally, and spiritually. Now, in this, we're going to see the 10 tribes on the other side of the river got to go back to the other side of the river because that's where they think they belong. So, and I think this is, again, I mentioned it last time, I believe with all my heart, major, major mistake. Way back even when Moses said it was okay, you know, and you know, they're going by Moses said it was okay, so it must be okay. Something to remember, it's better when God says it's okay than somebody else. You know, even a church leader can blow it at times. We are wrong sometimes. Not very often, but sometimes. And we're not the final authority. So Moses told him, it's okay. So picking it up here in verse 1, it says, then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days up to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. So bottom line, here's what he's telling them. You guys did good. You said you were going to go. You said you were going to fight. You said you were going to do those things. And you kept your word. So that's a good thing about them, right? They did a really good thing in that. And they honored that. And they even honored Joshua, which to me is unique. Remember, he took over for Moses. And he says, you even obeyed me and you did it. Now, he says in verse 4, and now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren, and he has promised them, or as he has promised them, now therefore return and go to your tents and to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. So now he's saying, okay, it's time to go back. we have rest. We're not fighting anymore. We have rest, kind of like we should have rest in Christ. And they're there. They're at that place. But something I want us to notice is Moses gave them the land. Keep that in mind. This was never God's will for these 2.5 tribes. Never was. Never will be. Even as us, when we do things and we try and convince God that it's a good thing. Any of you ever do that? Any of you try and get God on your side? Any of you try and convince Him, hey, Lord, this has got to be your will. Because even if it's going right, and we're going, it's going so well, I know this is it. And He's going, oh, this is so not my will. And we plug our ears and go, I'm not listening, I'm not listening. So Moses gave him the land. Keep that in mind because it's going to come up later on, and I think it's significant. He says, Moses gave you the land. Now, verse 5, extremely important for them, extremely important for us. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. And he sums it up in 5 things, 1 maybe, and 4 aspects of it. But he sums it up, here's a command, to love the Lord your God. And then you flesh that out by, you prove your love by walking in all of His ways, keeping His commandments, holding fast to Him, and serving Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now that's good advice from Joshua, isn't it? He says, when you go back, you got to remember this. Why is it so important? Because they are, check this out, they are separating themselves from the nation of Israel. They chose to do that. They're doing that. They're living away from where they're supposed to be living. Oh, they're close. They're really close. But it's still not where they're supposed to be. And so here they have to give even more careful attention to love the Lord, to keep His commandments, to walk in His ways, to serve Him. They got to be even more astute in doing that because there's this barrier between them and the rest of Israel. So he says, go do that. You know, you guys got it. And then so Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Verse 7, now the half-tribe of Manasseh, to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given the possession of Bashan, but to the other half of it, Joshua gave a possession among the brethren on this side of the Jordan westward. And indeed, when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them, and he spoke to them, saying, return with much riches to your tents, with very much livestock, with silver, with gold, with bronze, with iron, and with very much clothing. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. So he says, take this stuff back and go. Now remember why they wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan? It wasn't for spiritual reasons. This is because life was good over there. The grass was green. They could keep their livestock. They could keep their tents. And a lot of us, we kind of make decisions based on those things, don't we? Even today, even as believers, we make our decisions based on those things rather than really seeking the heart of God and the will of God for us. We kind of look at things, and when was the last time you listed, here's reasons why, and whatever your decision you're making, and you come up with monetary reasons, you can come up with, you know, geographical reasons, and etc. But do you go on the other side? Do you put down spiritual insight and what the Lord is telling you? Because I think that's important. I think it's important that we look at that. These guys didn't. Now they're going back. Now they're going back with all their junk to put with the rest of their junk. So they have a whole bunch of junk. They'll probably need to get storage sheds. Probably need to have all that, just like we do in America, right? Cracks me up, man. Why do we have storage sheds? Put our junk in. We go, why? I'm included. I'm not picking on anybody. And pretty soon we rent little buildings someplace. Why? Put more junk in. I got to get my junk in there. And so he says, they're going back. They're going back wealthy. That's a good thing. So verse 9, so the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the country of Gilead, to the land of their possessions, which they had obtained during or have obtained according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and a half tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a great and impressive altar. Oh, not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. We're going to read about it later, so I'm not going to comment. Just I'm going to say that was not good. Now, I'm not saying it's not good for the same reason the children of Israel are going to get all uptight here in a minute. They're going to get freaked out. I'm saying it's not good. You know why? Because it's not good. God warned against that. Now, they're going to give reasons why, just like we give reasons why we do what we do, right? The reason I want to live on this side of the Jordan is because the land's good. I got my kids, I got my wife, I got my stuff. I don't want to haul it all over there. I'll stay here, I'll go fight for you, I'll come back, and I like it. And the reason I have to build an altar is, I'm going to tell you later, but they built the altar. And notice it was great and impressive. Wasn't a little altar. This is huge. I'm kind of getting the idea. This thing rocked. So they got it done. Verse 11, now the children of Israel heard someone say, isn't it interesting? Now listen, isn't this interesting? Don't read on. But it's interesting here. The children of Israel get some gossip. They heard a rumor. It's even interesting the way it's written. They heard someone say. No one knows who said it. Isn't that the way rumors start? Who started that? I don't know. I just heard someone say. Here's what someone said. Here's what they said. And then they tell us, and then we tell someone else. Hey, you know what's going on? Because someone told me. And then we told someone else, and we tell someone else, and it gets huge. So someone told them. So this whole rumor spread through Israel. So the Israel, they heard someone say, behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar on the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region of Jordan, in the region of the Jordan, on the children of Israel's side. Now, they built the altar on the... They didn't build it on the east side. They built it on the west side. Are you getting that? They built the altar not on their side, but on the side where the other 10.5 tribes are. They stuck it over there. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them. Now, listen, the transition is, you're supposed to transition from being warriors to settling down. And the minute they get a rumor, what's the first thing they do? They're going to go kill everybody. That's what they've been doing for a while, right? It's been 7 years, man. It's been 7 years. They've been fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. And it's kind of in our nature, isn't it? When you hear a rumor about somebody and somebody's doing something wrong, what do you want to do? I want to go slap them. That's what I want to go do. These guys just got a little bigger and they're going, let's go to war. Why? Because we've been fighting for 7 years. We don't want to give that up. So we're going to go to war against them. Now, luckily, some cool heads prevailed, and that's always a good thing, isn't it? Because when we hear rumors, listen, we should probably do what they're about to do. Not what they want to do in verse 12, but what they're about to do in verse 13. Now the children of Israel sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead. With him, 10 rulers, one ruler each from the chief house of every tribe of Israel, and each one was the head of the house of his father among the divisions of Israel. So here's what they did. Somebody said, we really shouldn't go to war. It's kind of silly. So let's send a delegation. And here's what they're going. Let's go find out what really is going on. Wouldn't life be great if more people did that? You hear all kinds of stuff. Do you ever go and try and figure out what the truth is? What's really going on? Because what they heard was these guys build an altar. They're going to sacrifice to foreign gods. They're going to do stuff, and they're uptight about it. But they're now going and sending a delegation to figure out what's going on. How wise that is, and how wise it would be of us when somebody tells us a rumor, the Facebook rumors, Just saying. They're out there, man. They spread. Listen, it amazes me now. We don't even need telephones. We surely aren't going to talk face to face. Why on earth would we do that? So junk goes out on the internet. Bob Coy recently had to post that there were 50 different people posing as Bob Coy on Facebook. He has actually put a guy on staff to follow Facebook to squash the people who are Bob Coy on Facebook. Because it's not Bob Coy. Kind of crazy, isn't it? Bunch of you guys see on Facebook, I think it's about a month ago, some guy that is a very famous, I'll put it that way, very famous preacher, said that, came out on Facebook that he had committed adultery, walked out on his church, walked out on everything, yada, yada, yada. Now, I may not agree with his theology, I may not agree with him, but that's still bad. It wasn't him. And listen, people are doing that all the time, and here's what we do. We get it, and here's what we do, forward, or, you know, link to it, or I don't know how you work Facebook. Twitter, you just retweet it. But people are doing it, and people, it's all over the place. Instead of somebody picking up the phone, especially today, God forbid that we'd pick up the phone. Hello? Still use our voices? And it'd be really horrible if we had to go see them face to face. Talk to people. Find out what's going on. Now, I love that Israel's doing that. Here, Israel, their first reaction, which is a lot of ours, right? We have that built in. That's called our sin nature, where we want to go get somebody who's doing something, and that's built into us. But then they got together and they go, well, let's send a delegation and find out. They picked a priest's son, Phinehas, says he's a pretty good guy. They pick 10 guys to go with him, and they're all leaders. So now they come marching over to these 2.5 tribes. Verse 15, then they came to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh in the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them, saying, "Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what treachery is this that you have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that you have built for yourselves an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord?" Wow. They're pretty hot, aren't they? Now, Phinehas, look at the beginning of the next verse. It says, "Is the iniquity of Peor not enough for us, from which we are not cleansed till this day, although there was a plague of the congregation of the Lord?" Listen, as we look at this and we think about this, that happened back in Numbers 24 and Numbers 25. You can read those for homework. We studied those. But here's the thing. Phinehas is with them. And if you remember back in Numbers 24, 25, that was right after Balaam and the talking donkey incident. And remember, then he went and told Balak, "You're not going to curse them. That ain't going to work. But I know how to get them." Remember? He says, "I know how to get those Israelites. How do you do it?" Send in the foxy Midianite girls. And we'll corrupt them with sex. We'll do it through adultery. We'll do it through fornication. And they went in and did it. Remember, and then the plague started going. It's interesting, I was reading one of the commentaries, and that specific commentary guy, here's what he said. He goes, there was a breakout of the bubonic plague in the Midianites, and it was carrying over. And I thought, did you read those two chapters? It was from fornicating and adultery with the Midianite ladies. It wasn't a plague from the Midianites. And then remember what Phinehas did? Remember, there was the one Israelite guy and a Midianite girl, and he put his sword through both of them, and that's where the plague stopped. So he's a pretty dedicated guy. So it's interesting they send him, and it's interesting he brings that up to them. He goes, listen, what are you trying to do? Are you going to cause that to happen? He remembers. He was there. Do you know how many people died in that plague? 24,000. It's a lot of people. And he goes, "What are you guys? Why are you building an altar? Why are you doing this?" what are you thinking? And again, he doesn't have all the information, but here's what he knows. It's wrong. It's not a right thing to do. It's not a good thing to do. Don't you remember, he says in Peor, when that happened and that plague got us? And then he goes on in verse 18. Check this out. But you must turn away this day, from following the Lord. In other words, you're doing this, now you're turning away. And it shall be, if you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel. So he goes, remember what happened then? Now, if you guys do this, you don't sin alone. Remember, we talked about that. Some of us think we sin in our own little area, and I would include myself. And we think, oh, my sin doesn't affect it. Your sin affects other people. And we need to understand that. We need to get a grip on that. We need to know that. And here's what he's saying. You guys are going to sin on the other side of the river, but guess what? It's going to come over and it's going to flow on us. And we're going to catch it. So think about what you're doing. Don't do what you're doing. Now listen, I think verse 19 is one of the most important in this chapter, maybe. Nevertheless, if the land you possess, or if the land of your possession is unclean, listen what he says. Cross over to the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands. Take possession among us, but do not rebel against the Lord, nor rebel against us by building yourselves an altar besides the altar of the Lord our God. You hear what he's saying? This is like their last chance. Have you ever noticed, as you read your Bible, how many chances God gives sinners? Over and over and over. And I think a lot of us can look in the mirror, right? Get the same results. But look at the heart of God. You know, I'm always fascinated because people tell me, they think the God of the Old Testament was really mean. I think he's a great, great, great God, because here's what I know, the same God of the New Testament. I understand it theologically, but do you see his heart here? You see what he's telling these 2.5 tribes? He's using Phinehas, he's using his delegation. Here's what he's saying. If it's so bad over there, come on. Come on, we got land over here. What are you doing over there? Why would you want to live over there? Why would you want to be on the other side of the Jordan when God told us to cross over the Jordan, when God wanted us to do that? Why are you staying over there? If it's that unclean, that you're that freaked out, that you have to build an altar, why don't you just come over on our side? Come on. Now that's a pretty good delegation, isn't it? Hey, the land's already been divided up. People already got their land, and here's what they're saying. We don't care. We'll make room for you. We'll make sure you can get in. And what does he say? You need to come where? The Lord's tabernacle. Now listen, I understand it was different then, but here's what he's saying. Don't you want to get as close to the presence of the Lord as you can? Wouldn't that make the most sense, Christian? Come on, listen, he's saying, here's where God's hanging out. What are you doing over there? Well, I like the green grass. I like my stuff. And besides that, I still love God. Just at a distance. Oh, be careful. Hey, a lot of us are that way, aren't we? We kind of keep him, you know. I've heard people say, well, you know what? I have my spiritual life and I have my secular life. Don't have a secular life, okay? That's not a good thing. Don't compartmentalize your life. Do you understand? We're kind of blessed now. We kind of get it. Do you know that God goes everywhere we go? Do you know God is everywhere? Do you know the Holy Spirit is always with us? Do you ever feel Him knocking on your heart when you're doing something sinful? And God is going, I'm with you. I'm not enjoying this. And you and I need to understand something, man. We can live in the presence of God every moment. Praise God, we don't even have to cross a river. He's going, come on, come on. I love this part, man. And then I always want to read verse 20 and them say, and all of the, you know, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, cross back over. That's not what verse 20 says. That's what I wanted to say. But he says, listen, do this. And then he brings up, did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and the wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man did not perish alone in his iniquity. Judges chapter 7, I'm sorry, I put Joshua chapter 7. We just read that just a few weeks ago. Here's what he's trying to get them to understand. If you guys do this and you guys keep this altar, your sin is going to get all over us. I remember hearing one time John Corson at one of the pastors' conferences we had. I remember him sharing about that. And, you know, like, we're all in this together, right? And it's kind of like we're all in a bathtub. And it's really not good if you go to the bathroom in the bathtub when I'm in the bathtub with you. It's not a good thing. He used the illustration, his kids are in there, they're little, they're young. And his daughter says, I got to go to the bathroom, Daddy. So he gets her out and she goes to the bathroom and he asks the other little one, what about you? No, I already went, I'm fine. In my bathwater. Think about it. Well, that's what our sin does, doesn't it? Come on, it gets on us. It messes us up. And he's saying, think about Numbers 24:25 for us. Think about Peor. Think about Achan. People died because of their sin. And he goes, why are you doing this? Now, what I kind of like about this is it's not Joshua. It's not even a high priest. It's a priest's son. It's Phinehas. But he's got a spiritual heart and he's got a spiritual attitude. Listen, he's not poking his finger at him. He's saying, think about what you're doing. We got to get this together. So he makes that plead with them. Again, not a threatening thing, but a plead and telling them, come on back over on the other side of the river. We'll be fine. Now listen, here's where it gets kind of funky to me. Then the children, verse 21, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said to the heads of the divisions of Israel. Now I want you to listen because this is excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse, just like we do. Listen to what they say. The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, He knows. Oh, by the way, they'll use God's name a whole bunch in this because it sounds so spiritual when we do that, right? And here's what they're saying, the Lord, notice they repeat it, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, He knows. Here's what they're saying, God knows my heart. Have you ever said that? He very well does know your heart. But the problem is, you don't know your heart. That's what Jeremiah tells us. Of course God knows your heart. But when you're not listening to God, it doesn't matter whether He knows your heart or not, because you're not going to hear Him when He talks to you about your heart. Got it? So they're going, look, the Lord knows, the Lord knows. And it says, and let Israel itself know if it is rebellion or if it is treachery against the Lord, do not save us this day. Now that's a good thing, because here's what they're saying. We didn't do what you think we did, which is true. They did not. They did not do that. But they still build an altar. So they're going, we didn't do that. If it's that, don't even save us. Verse 23, if we have built ourselves an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer on it burnt offerings or grain offerings, or if it is to offer peace offerings, let the Lord Himself require an account. So they're going, listen, that's not what we built. But in fact, we have done it for fear. Ooh, you might want to underline that. Do you hear what they just said? Listen carefully. We didn't do it to do bad. And I believe them. Just like a lot of people talk to me when they're compromising. I'm not intentionally doing something to remove myself from the presence of the Lord. And I believe that. But you're still doing it nonetheless. And listen what they said. We did it out of fear. Oh. They didn't say we did it out of faith, did they? They didn't say we did it because we believed the Word of God. They didn't say we even want to stay pure in the Word of God and do that. We got scared. Any of you do any dumb things when you're scared? All of us do, don't we? So we did it out of fear. Now, here's the fear. For we did it out of fear, for a reason, saying, in time to come, your descendants may speak to our descendants, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? Excuse number one, your kids are ungodly. That's what they're saying. Wow, that's kind of gross, isn't it? Your descendants aren't going to like us. Wait a minute. Who's closer to where the presence of the Lord is? The guys on the other side or the guys on this side? Now they're pointing a finger. That's kind of interesting to me that they would come up, and that's what we do, isn't it? Well, I'm only doing this because I want to be more like Jesus. Really, if you want to be more like Jesus, why don't you move over here where Jesus is? Well, because I like my stuff. Got to keep my stuff. So your kids, they're going to say we don't belong to the Lord. Now look at verse 25. For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between you and us, you children of Reuben, you children of Gad. You have no part in the Lord, so your descendants would make our descendants cease from fearing the Lord. Who made the Jordan the border between them? Wasn't the Lord. It was them. See, we make decisions, and we do things, and then we blame God. Aren't you glad God is big? Aren't you glad He can handle that? God didn't make that border. Now, I know they're saying your children are going to say that, but that's what's in their mind. That's what they're thinking. God made this border. No, God didn't make the border. You made the border. You made the choice. You chose to stay on the other side, and you did that. And now here's their biggest fear. Here's what they're really afraid of. They're afraid of they're not going to be able to be part of Israel because there's a river between them. Didn't verse 19 give them the answer to that? If that's your big fear, come on over. Why do you stay away? Why do you distance yourself? Why do you push people away from you and you know, even godly people? And we do that sometimes in our life, don't we? We get in a situation, we get where something's going on, and we start pushing the godly people away from us. We start getting our distance, and we pull back, and we get back, and we get away. And that's what they're saying. And here's what I'm thinking, man. Why don't you you're supposed to gather 3 times a year. You're going to be there. Your descendants can go there. It's going to be okay. No. It's going to be bad. And then, verse 26, therefore, here's what's going on. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare to build ourselves an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between you and us and our generation after us, that we may perform the service of the Lord before Him with burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offering, that your descendants may not say to our descendants in the time to come, you have no part in the Lord. Here's what they're saying. We have this monument that is going to prove we belong to Israel. How could you prove you belong to Israel? Couldn't you just live a godly life? Do you have to have some external thing going on so people know? Now listen, we do that today, don't we? We got all kinds of Christian stuff we can wear. Right? And there's nothing wrong. Listen, I'm not against that, but why do we have to put on external signs so people can recognize we belong to the Lord? Why don't we live a life that people would say, you must belong to Jesus? Why do these guys have to put up a monument? You know why they have to put up a monument? Because pretty soon you're not even going to know them. You're not going to know the difference between them and the rest of Gilead. Because they're going to compromise, because they're on the other side of the river. First they compromised where they're going to live. Now they're compromising and they're going, we built an altar, but it's not an altar for sacrifice. It's an altar for this. Now here's what I'm thinking. It must have looked like the other altar if they thought they could sacrifice on it. Are you kind of picking up on that? Are you kind of thinking they built a brazen altar like the other brazen altar to make it look like that altar so people would think that they belong and we have the right altar? And it's still on the other side of the river. That's what's kind of odd. Why don't you build it on your side of the river? As a matter of fact, why don't you build it over the river and you can walk on it? So, oh, and here's what's crazy. You go back and read Joshua chapter 4. Not very far, probably from this very spot, they built an altar. Remember, God said, build a landmark, take 12 stones out of the bottom of the river, stack them up for proof when you crossed over the river. Remember that? There's a little bit of proof. And here's what God says, because I want you to forget your past and I want you to go forward. Here's what these guys are saying. We want to remember the past. So now they made a choice. Now they got this altar and they're going, that's why we built the altar. Therefore, verse 28, we said that it will be when they say this to our generations in time to come, that we may say, here is a replica of the altar of the Lord which our fathers made, though not for burnt. We didn't make this one for burnt offerings nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between you and us. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn from following the Lord this day to build an altar for burnt offerings, for grain offerings, for sacrifices, besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle. So they're going, it's just a symbol of who we are. Why don't you live a godly life? Why don't you do the things? Why don't you go back? Why don't you go back and read verse 5? Take careful heed to do the commandment of the Lord, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him. Why don't you just do that? And they would go, wow, they must be Jews. They're doing all the right stuff. They got to be our brothers. No, we'll build a big old honking monument because that way we can keep our stuff. We can live on the other side and we can live in compromise because we got a monument. Hey, I think some of us do that, man. Some of us, we put on the Christian bumper sticker and we think, well, people know I'm a Christian. I got a bumper sticker on my car. It says I'm a Christian. Till the cop stops you. Arrest you because you're going 100 miles an hour in a 35. He thinks you stole the car because no Christian would do that. These guys, I'm thinking, come on, really? Now listen, the good news here, the good news is everything's going to be okay as far as war. The bad news is nobody slaps them, not kills them. Do you hear what you're saying? Now, it's always good for me to read these things because then it convicts my heart. And then in my heart, I'm going, wow, I'm just like Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. Because it's much easier to put up a sign that's saying I'm a Christian than to live like a Christian. It is. It's a lot easier. And I'm thinking, wow, started way back then. Verse 30, now when Phinehas, the priest, and the rulers of the congregation, the heads of the divisions of Israel who were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh had spoken, it pleased them. So here's what Phinehas says. That's good. Do you notice a bummer thing about 30? It pleased them. Who's left out of the equation? God. Kind of like even when they wanted to live on the other side. Well, we leave God out of the equation, we get what we want. Some of us, we don't even pray, we do things, then we ask God to bless that, right? I had a friend one time bought a car, said, God told me to buy this car, really? Then he got the car taken away from him. I said, well, God mess up? Some of us, we want stuff and we ask God what color he would like. Not if we should get it, but he can pick the color. He's going, oh, thank you. There's no prayer. There's no mention of prayer. Remember every time, here's the thing you can do that's kind of fun in your margin, is you can write N-P, no prayer. Every time they get in trouble, listen, N-P, no prayer. They forgot to pray. And don't we also do that same thing? We get so caught up and somebody tells us something. And listen, I mean, if you read this from one side, if you read 24 through 29 from one view, you're going, okay, they're all right, right? They're not going to work. It's not like they're going to use this thing to sacrifice or anything. And I hear people even say that today. It's not like they're going to do anything. And you know what? I don't even think, on a lot of things, you're going to lose your salvation. It's just not going to draw you closer to Jesus. And why would you want to do anything that wouldn't draw you closer? Why aren't we working at drawing closer to Jesus? Why aren't we moving on the other side of the river? Come on, let's get our stuff. Let's cross the San Pedro. Let's go. Think, God, it pleased them. Phinehas, why didn't you pray? Phinehas is the son of Eleazar. Phinehas is like a pretty dynamite guy. Well, why pray? Those guys gave us a good reason. We listen to people, they give us a good reason. So, you know what? It's okay. Hey, this pleases us. God, are you happy? Do you want to, in verse 30, Lord, are you happy? I don't think so. Because one compromise led to another compromise. And you can read in Chronicles, especially the book of Chronicles. I know you guys love those. You can read, these are the first guys. Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh, they're the first ones to go. They're the first ones to fall. Not because they were on the front line, because they were on the wrong side of the river. One compromise, another compromise, at least another compromise. And we need someone to convict us. We need the Holy Spirit to come and say, stop it. Don't go down that. Now, verse 31, then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us because you have not committed treachery against the Lord. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. So here's what he's saying. Listen, he's not saying, woohoo, God is totally in this. Here's what he's saying. We are not going to die because you guys are turkeys. Because they're not going to sin with this thing in that sense. But it's a bigger thing. So they're going, this is good. Then Phinehas, verse 32, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the rulers returned from the children of Reuben, from the children of Gad, from the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and they brought back word to them. So they came back to the whole nation. So this thing pleased the children of Israel. Once again, God's not brought into the picture, is he? Oh, because, here's what some people say. It's just a civil, it doesn't really matter. This is in my secular world. This has nothing to do with my spiritual world. Everything has to do with your spiritual life. Everything. No, you don't understand. It's just a decision. It's just a business decision. Or it's just a this decision or whatever. Pray about it. Pray about it. Pray hard. Ask God, hey, God, am I getting on the wrong side of the river? That's why I want you guys to start praying. Which side of the river am I on? Oh, you're on the other side of the Jordan. What am I doing on the other side of the Jordan? Remember when Jesus goes on the other side of the Jordan? Remember in the Gospels? He goes over there. You know what they're doing by the time Jesus comes? They're pig farmers. That's these guys. They're herding pigs. You ever see a Jew herd pigs? Not a good thing. Bad. And they're bad at it. All their pigs jumped in the lake. So here they are, man, they're there, and I just think, man, generations later, look how bad it is. So the children of Israel, verse 33, it pleased them, and the children of Israel blessed God. And they spoke no more of going to them in battle to destroy the land where the children of Reuben and children of Gad dwelt. Hey, they're really glad. Listen, they're glad because God's not going to come after them. Blessing God, praising God. Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar witness, for it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. Didn't they already know the Lord is God? Do you need a pile of metal to tell you that the Lord is God? Do you need some kind of symbol, some kind of thing? Don't you know in your heart that the Lord is God? And once again, do we compromise? Are we the kind of people who we will compromise our lives and then go by, and I'm not putting this down by any means, so please don't think I am, but we'll compromise, but we'll go buy a Christian t-shirt to put it on so we feel okay. Listen, I think wearing Christian t-shirts is fine. I think it's a great thing. I think any kind of witness we can get out there is a great, great thing. But the greatest witness of all is our lives. Living a life so people go, wow, that's what a Christian looks like. So let's make a commitment to do that. So let's all, as we stand up to pray right now, let's stand up and let's all go on the other side of the Jordan, okay? Not staying on that side. Father, we do thank you. We thank you tonight, Lord, and thank you for the challenge as we look here in this chapter. And Lord, we can see a lot of different things going on. We got the huge transition of going from war to rest. We've got the transition of settling down, of things being different and not the same. God, we've got people listening to rumors and having to squash that and take care of that. That's a good thing. You know, people who hear, Lord, and listen, and that's a good thing. And God, we just have this glaring, huge compromise in the middle of this. And God, I pray that when we sit down and read your word, and you convict us and you reveal to us our hearts, that we would change our hearts. Make us a people who honor you, just like Joshua said, who love you, who walk in your ways, who keep your commandments, who hold tight to you, and who serve you with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our being. Let us be that. God, and how great that is, then if it's adorned with something external. But be glorified, God. Teach us. Teach us not to compromise. God, teach us that standing on your word and standing near you is the greatest decision we can ever make. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.